We've been getting some good word of God, haven't we? A lot of good things God is doing. Let's go over to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Somewhere around verse 18, I believe. Nick, you got the laptop this morning? All right. Jesus speaking here, then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like? It's an interesting question, huh? What's it like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? You guys ever thought about the kingdom of God? What it looks like? What would you liken it to? What's it similar to? What does the kingdom of heaven sound like? When it speaks, what's it say? What's it look like? What's its character? What's its mannerisms? Total joy and peace. Okay? I'll take that. It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. That's interesting, huh? Have you guys received the word of God? Has the kingdom of heaven been preached to you? It has, hasn't it? So when I ask you what it looks like, what it sounds like, what's its mannerisms, what's its characteristics, what's the persona of it? Colossians, I love the first chapter of Colossians. Jesus Christ being the image of the invisible God. He's the persona of God. So if you were to say, what's the kingdom of God look like? What would your answer be? I just gave you a big hint. It'd be Jesus, wouldn't it? Is Jesus the perfect persona of heaven? When he appeared to those early churches within those angels, was he not the perfect image of God, the perfect wisdom of God, the wisdom and understanding of the Lord? Was he speaking from something that was imperfect or that which was perfect, showing the way as to what those angels were going to become? Meaning, when the Word of God comes to you, what is the intent of it? Have you guys asked these questions? Have you asked, what is God doing? What is prophecy doing for me? What's the intent of prophecy? What is the will of God here? When the word of God is being spoken, what is God's intent? What's the intent of these elders? What are they trying to do? Are we just up here speaking, preaching, teaching, just to be seen of men? Or is there a greater intent? Do you even think it's to be seen of men? What say ye? I can assure you not. Why? Because the true preaching takes place in here, doesn't it? Where is the kingdom of God? It is within you. Yet we consistently look without, don't we? We say things like it's in the Holy Ghost. We say things like it's full of righteousness, love, joy, peace. Yet the carnal mind plagues us, doesn't it? It plagues those in the death of Adam. It plagues those in those thoughts of flesh and the things of the earth. You can't seem to escape it. Even when the prophets came in, what did they consistently do? They just spoke the word of God from heaven, didn't they, Tim? Isn't that what they did? What was their intent? To show them heaven, to show them God, to point them back to God, their Savior. Everything you see in the seed line of Adam was the grace of God being sent to death and hell to say, very simply, keep your eyes on God. Trust the Lord because there's a Savior coming. And did God lie or did Saviors come? Man, we could line them up. Everyone from Abel to Moses to Abraham to Joseph. These great saints of God, these patriarchs of God, they came with a word from heaven to speak unto Israel to keep their eyes on God. Concerning the kingdom of heaven. In fact, something that's been on my mind a lot. Let's jump over real quick to, I believe it's Hebrews 11. Nick, find me where it talks about what Abraham was looking for. Let's start in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Did you hear that? He was called out to go, not knowing where he was going, that afterward, Keith, after he obeyed God, after the word of God instructed him, after the word of God led him. So he didn't receive the inheritance before, he received it after. We'll get to that in a minute. But when these thoughts rise up in you and they say, but these elders say this, but I'm seeing this. I don't know what they say here about heaven and dreams and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. All I know is my thoughts of death and torment, hell and doubt and unbelief, and things that constantly speak to me to persuade me otherwise. Yet even if these thoughts in you deny that the word of God has been spoken to you, that would be a lie. Because in this thought of God, the word of the Lord has been spoken. True or not? I wrote this up here because you're going to be one of the two of these. And you can't be both. The word of God has been spoken. Micah, can you deny it? Would you? You can't. It's impossible now. You couldn't deny it if you wanted to. It'd be a lie nonetheless. It'd be a lie, Tim. So by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. When God said to me in the Holy Ghost, submit yourself to this anointing, was he talking to Gary Ellis or was he talking to something more than that? Are we dealing with the word of God here? Or are we dealing with just flesh and blood in this physical realm? What are we doing? We're dealing with the word of God. Who is the word of God this morning? Debbie, awesome for you. She raised her hand. I am. Who agrees with Debbie? Why didn't you raise your hands? He obeyed. So when the Lord says, submit yourself to this anointing, and I'll give it to you without reservation, were there things that I had to submit to? Were there things that I had to come into obedience for? What had to take place? Did that word of God in me have to submit to the word of heaven? Did the word of God in me have to be obedient to the word of heaven? Why? If it's the word of God, doesn't it already understand all these things? If I'm the word of God, Micah, don't I understand all things from the beginning? Or as we've said many times, is there a becoming to that? There's a growing up. Sure. We just read it. The man that received the grain of the mustard seed, he put it into his garden and it what? It grew and waxed into a great tree. So watch this. He went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, with Jacob. Didn't Jesus say you'll sit down in heaven with them? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Didn't he say, is this part of our promise, the inheritance of God? The heirs with him, hear that, the heirs with him, of the same promise. And this is what I wanted. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's interesting. The word of the Lord, when God has spoken it to us, just like he did to the angel, just like he did to those early churches, was in great perfection. It was in the perfection of God, full of wisdom and understanding. But did the angel understand everything that Jesus, who was speaking to him, did? Or was there a sowing of prophecy into that angel that the word of God would become what was speaking to him? In other words, that angel was going to become the same as this Jesus speaking to him. So when the word of God is spoken to us, how do we perceive it? I'll tell you how we perceive it. Where's my marker? We'll call this the tree of heaven. What would this be then? Would this be a man? Is a tree a man? What would this one be? What do we got to call this? Good and evil? We'll do that. The tree of knowledge. Is this a man? Do both have kingdoms? This man is built on what? Foundation of the apostles and prophets. Finish it for me. Jesus Christ, is the chief. I spelled that backwards. Cornerstone. So the whole foundation hinges on him, right? What about this man? What's his foundation built upon? Somebody said sand. Did I hear that right? What would be sand? The flesh. Whoa, somebody just said something that caught my ear. Speak up. False prophecy. So wait a minute. This man is built upon the foundation of the apostle and the prophets. Is this the true? So this is true? Then this is the lie? This is the false prophecy? Is that what this is? So this is the anti-JC. It's the anti-Christ. It's the anti-Jesus. The thing that wants to be similar, wants to talk like him, look like him, walk like him, but only has an image of godliness. It has a form of godliness. But what does it deny? It denies the power of God. What is the power of God, guys? The Holy Ghost? Is it not this prophecy we're talking about? Is it not the gospel of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ? Is that not the power of God? What can save you from your sin? Only Jesus. Let that sink in. Only the true word of heaven can save you from your sin. You cannot save yourself. You say, but Peter said, save yourselves. Yeah, in the Holy Ghost. Peter had now been baptized with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, just like the book of Joel said. What now does he have power to do? Save himself, meaning all of them that are within him. He now, as the true man of God, has power to save those that are in his world. Does that make sense? When we put it without, we deny ourselves. We deny who we are in God. When we try to put it without ourselves, we never let this word of God sow into us and become the very Savior of God, to become Christ-like, to be born into the body of Jesus Christ, to be born again of that body and raised up, this apostolic, prophecy-filled, spirit-filled man of God that has the anointing to preach the gospel to the entire world that God placed in his heart. Does that make sense to everybody? It's pretty simple to me, pretty plain in my thoughts. So, if the Word of God has come, and it has, when it goes into this one, what takes place? He hears it. He obeys it. He works it. And brings forth. When this one hears the word of God, what's it do? It reasons it. It reasons. Within itself, it uses this knowledge to what? To do the same thing this one does. It wants to become, does it not? Let me ask you guys a simple question. Have you ever looked at Rick, Dan, any of the elders, Brian, and said, man, I want to be like that? What about you, Micah? Yep. Sure. Tim? James? What was the thought there? Is there anything wrong with wanting to be like heaven? Think about it for a second. Don't answer too quickly. Really think about what I'm asking. Is there anything wrong with wanting to be like God? Like heaven? Like Jesus? We've all had thoughts like it. What goes wrong in that thought? When you try to work it yourself, isn't it truly going back to the grounds? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, what happens? Then cometh the wicked one. The desire of God was right. There was nothing wrong with God's desire. There was nothing wrong with God's word. God's word, there's never been anything wrong with God's word. God spoke a clean, good word of God to you. And the desire in you that was innocent desired to be like God. But there were some things not understood. And as soon as that desire gets corrupted by working your own reasoning, your own knowledge to try to attain to what you've heard from God, it goes awry, doesn't it? Something creeps into you and corrupts and perverts that word of God, and it's not clean anymore. The entire tree, if you will, the temple, if you will, you could call it many things. The house of God is no longer clean. It's in an unregenerated state. And you see all of these things working in the thought. And if you go back to those early churches, many things of iniquity were working there. Rick asked me a question about what things have been suffered. And I'd been in thought about the thing that drew me away from my first love. Do you know that worker of iniquity hates the word of God? Hates the truth of God? Because that worker of iniquity does not want to lose his life to let this word become Christ. And because it drew them away from their first love, what began to happen? Did they begin to doubt who they were, Tim? Has there ever been thoughts in you that after you desired to be like God, thoughts begin to reason within you and draw you away. And before you knew it, you were in thoughts of death and unbelief and confusion, questioning who you are in God. Have you ever had thoughts tell you you're not a son of God? Have you ever had thoughts cause you to be persuaded that you were not a son of God? If I told you that it's all a lie, you could depart from it right now if you believed me, trusted me, and let God bring understanding to what I'm saying to you. Do you realize that? You realize you could walk away right now and come into the thought of prophecy and simply be patient, wait on God, submit yourself, be obedient in all things, and God would guide you right to the inheritance. Right to the inheritance. Go read Hebrews 11 all the way through. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Every single one of these men and women of God did everything they did by faith. Did they know everything? Did they understand everything? No. Did they even know what heaven looked like? Did they know how to talk like heaven, walk like heaven? No. But they had a promise that God had sowed into them. And they were looking as Abraham for this builder, this city whose builder and maker was God. What a great inheritance. When this word of God is sown into us, it might be just that little grain of mustard seed. But wasn't it Zechariah said that you're not to despise the day of small things? And this thought over here, this thought will despise the word of God from heaven. Some of the reasons are what? Not fast enough. Not quick enough. Well, I've been waiting for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Yeah, but which thought have you been waiting in? We could call this Adam, the earthly. We could call this the second Adam of what? Of heaven. The Lord. This Adam does not think like this Adam, does he? It's been made very evident. This Adam thinks concerning what? Himself. He thinks concerning himself. All the time, every time he hears the word of God, he thinks concerning himself. The trouble he's in, the curse he's in, the bondage he's in, all the way through that seed line. They were always concerned about themselves and their afflictions and their troubles and their trials and their tribulations. And yet, never discerning that their trials and afflictions and tribulations were brought upon themselves because of their disobedience. I've had people tell me, well, I've experienced the judgment of God. Really, tell me about that. And then it'll be all the mistakes and trials and things of this life, this physical life. Well, I've been through this, I've been through that, I've been through that. Guys, that's got nothing to do with the judgment of God. Nothing. What is the judgment of God concerning? His word. And where does judgment come first? To the house of God. That's why Jesus showed up and that angel was speaking to that angel, to that son. Because if you're a son of God, you're going to be chastened of the Lord. And when that son of God begins to reason within himself because he's young and he doesn't understand, he makes wrong decisions. He follows after things that God did not intend. He becomes something God did not intend. And iniquity works. Then a sleep comes and God has to show this son, the work of this iniquity. Because until God shows you the worker of iniquity, you cannot depart from it. Until you understand a thing, you can't walk away from it. Does this explain why people who are in the curse cannot escape it? Ask yourself this question. When Dan came to me and talked to me about the curse, Talk to me about some dreams. I get it. The Word of God was speaking to him about the Son of God or the Word of God in him. But it had effect. He could use it after the thing that God had showed within him to speak to the Word of God in me. Because that Word of God in me was in him. If that makes sense to you. So by laying on of hands, by transference, by proclamation of the gospel, by prophecy, he came back and spoke to me, the Word of God in me, and said, make the right decisions. He had to go back when it was in innocence, before it was deceived, and instruct that young Word of God in the ways of the Lord, so that it could not be seduced and deceived by this thing to become this great tree of wickedness and call itself God. And when that takes place, when that regeneration takes place, what does that young Word of God now have the ability, the power of God to do? Become everything God said in prophecy would be. It becomes this, doesn't it? Doesn't it become this man? Doesn't it become apostolic? Doesn't it become prophetic? Doesn't it become the second Adam, the Lord of heaven? Doesn't it become a tree of righteousness planted by the rivers, a tree that cannot be moved? A tree full of healing, salvation. Anyone that eats of the fruit of that tree will live, Tim. They'll live. Don't you want to be a tree of heaven? A tree that souls who are in these things of death can call upon? Because there has to be a prayer at some point. There's got to be a prayer that reaches heaven. And if the right prayer gets to heaven, do you think God in his faithfulness will deny that prayer and not send his anointed one to bring salvation, deliverance, healing, whatever the need might be? God did it for me. When I was lost in death and bound in a curse and could not see my way out, did God send his word to me? God send his son? Did God send the Lord from heaven to speak his word and open my eyes and let me see? Did God unstop my ears and let me hear? I was hearing the word of God before, but it was locked in a curse of reasoning and knowledge, and I could not escape what I had become. You become something God never intended. You become something you never really wanted to be. But because we don't understand these things at the time, we become a tree, like Dan preached on Wednesday night, a vine, if you will, that has branches which have been perverted and corrupted. The canker worm has come in and polluted that branch, and it cannot bear, it cannot bring forth. It's bearing, it's withered, it's dead. And God has to bring a word that regenerates that tree. And sometimes the only way to do it is to purge it, cleanse it, cut it off, and remove it. God has to purge away your sin. He has to purge away that worker of iniquity. Go read 2 Thessalonians 2, man. There's a great coming of the Lord. And that which stands in the temple of God and calls himself God, the very abomination that Daniel prophesied about, is taken away. He is removed out of the way and destroyed by the brightness of the coming of Jesus Christ. There's hope here this morning. There's hope. The simplicity of this is, I said it, you're one or the other. You're either the Lord from heaven or you're this Adam of the earth that thinks in death. Let go of your reasoning. Believe what God has said. Be like Abraham. Be like Joseph. Be like Sarah, who was past her age and dead, but yet God's word said, you will have a son. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. You say, but I'm in death and hell. That's your problem. That's your confession. That's the only thing you have to offer God, Cain, is a wrong offering. I know, because I did it for years. I brought the wrong offering. When the intercessor come into play and God opened my eyes and I was able to hear, I received the word of God and understanding, and now I knew how to bring the right offering, the right word. I knew how to pay tithes. I knew how to give God what was required. I knew how to give Daniel as the elder of the Lord what was required. I knew what to give Rick what was required. Did Melchizedek meet the Lord with tithes and offerings of all that he had? Abraham, I'm saying, meet Melchizedek and give him tithes and offering of all that he had. He knew what to give him. When this is all we know right here, this is all we have is knowledge, and this is all we give, this is all we offer, because this is all our meditation has been in. Is it the right offering, James? Is it going to do anything for you? What has it done for you? What has your knowledge done for you? It has kept you in death. As soon as God begins to grant you understanding, he opens your eyes. Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, because he has made us to sit in what? Heavenly places. This man is of heaven. He's in a heavenly place. He doesn't think like this man who's in the earth in death and corruption. He doesn't think like this. He doesn't talk like this. He doesn't walk like this. He looks different than this man, because he is different than this man. This man right here is the Lord of heaven. He has a gospel, a revelation of who he is. He knows who he is in God. He's the very fullness and image of that invisible God. That Father and Son are one in the persona of Jesus Christ. They said, well, just show us the Father, those disciples. Just show us the Father, Lord. He said, when you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. I am the Father. I'm the embodiment of the Father. Everything of the Father dwells in me. My Father and I are one. So when you talk to Jesus, you're talking to the Father. He is the access to the Father. He is the access to the city. He's the access to heaven. Jesus Christ is the access to it all. And yet we want to stay in our reasoning and in our knowledge and cross our fingers and hope eventually 10, 5, 15, 20, 50 years later that we'll get a break and get in somehow. It's not going to happen. You go any other way than this way right here in Jesus Christ, you're a thief and a robber. You have the Word of God because it was given to you. You are the Word of God because it was said so. But that young Word of God wants to become things that God never intended. It wants to get there on its own. I'm just telling you, when the revelation of Jesus Christ is revealed to you, you're so thankful that God reveals to you that only in Him can all things be done. He said it in the chapter Dan was preaching from earlier in the verses, without me, you can do nothing. If you're cut off from the vine, if you're a branch that's not producing, just like the parable of the Lord coming into the garden and finding the man that had been tending a tree for 3 years, Keith. And the Lord said, what? I came for fruit. There is no fruit. Where is the fruit? And what the man say? Man began to pray, didn't he? Lord, give me one more year. Give me one more year. I'll dung it. I'll dig it out. I'll purge it. I'll attend to it. And if there be no fruit after that year, we'll cut it down. There are those, we were in pastor's meeting, there are those that were among us that were told point blank, the Lord's giving you one more year. Some of us have been in the intimate settings of heavenly places. and given the word of heaven and have refused to walk in truth and stay in this knowledge. At some point, this knowledge gets the best of you. It overcomes you. It wages war with you. It makes war with the saints of God. And you eventually, you just cannot, you don't have the power or the strength to overcome it. He takes you into death and captivity, and there you remain. I'm talking about the now. Right here, there's not a one of us that have not come through resurrection, that have not had to submit all things to God, lay down the life and follow after Jesus Christ. Just like those disciples when they were in the boats, Jesus shows up on the shore. I'm tending my nets one night. I'm with my father in the boat. My brother's with me. And we're casting nets. And we're done. We're cleaning the nets. And this man shows up on the shore and says to me, "Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." I dropped my net. I went after him. And there's no looking back. There's a price to this, Micah. Have you counted those costs? What's it going to cost you?
You have to lay down your life, walk in the life of Christ.
So let me ask you, Micah. Have you ever been things that work in this tree right here? Have you ever been this man right here? You have? Did you love it? Did you strive to be it? This knowledge, these things of good and evil? Did you want to be great in the eyes of men? It's true, isn't it? What about now? You don't want to be that tree anymore, do you? Is that what it takes? Is that all it takes? Just lay that life down? It can't be that easy, though, man. It just can't be that easy, can it? Or can it? It can.
You have to believe in the work that Jesus did. You have to believe in the work that Jesus did. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that did the work. And
you're a partaker. So everything Jesus said to you by prophecy, you've believed it. You're being obedient to it. You're letting it seep into your very being and change you. Regenerate you, make you a new man. Born again. Got to be harder than that. Or was it one simple conversation, Dan? Was that all it took? Did it take months and weeks and years for you after you said to me, "This curse is working"? How long are you going to work? How long are you going to be in this curse? How long are you going to let this curse continue to work? Or are you going to believe God right here, right now, and trust the Lord and let God work this thing? How long after that?
Very quick. It just started right then.
It was immediate. You know why it was immediate? Because this man here, all of this, this Christ, this apostle, this, all of this, he's all of it. He has power to lay hands and make new. He has power to heal infirmity. He has power to cast out devils. He has power to change your tongue in your parable. He has power to raise you up from your crippled state. He has power to make you new. Or to bring you into his body and give birth to you and cause you to be born again and become a new creature in Christ. He has that power. And as this man of God comes into his own, what begins to take place to this right here? What takes place? You say, "Well, I still deal with it." Guess what? There's a reason for that. Dan, are you still this tree? Do you still work in this tree over here? The not good and evil? What tree? Rick, you still working in that tree over there? So you're saying you're not Adam of the earth, Adam of the flesh, of corruption and death. What are you then? the tree of heaven. This is what you are. This is all you are. You say, man, I don't get it. You never will. Understand what I'm saying? You, in this thought, never will. You have to let God talk to you. He'll make manifest this. When you understand what he's showing you, you'll depart from this and you'll just be. Losing my mic here off and on. Now, how many of you want to be like God? Do you want to be like Christ? Want to be like Jesus? You ever wondered that scripture in Luke I read? He sows the grain of mustard seed, becomes a great tree, but there's fowls that lodge in the branches of it. It's part of that growth. It's part of that journey that this right here is going to be made manifest. Fowls, devils, uncleanness, unrighteousness. That is exactly why in your resurrection, all of those things, all of those saints of God in that death, that worked, death and hell and good and evil worked in Adam. But there were those in that Adam that worked the good or the God, and they stayed obedient to God and they followed after God, though they did not receive the promise. They died. They died. But God had a plan, didn't he? Because when his son came on the scene, what did his son do for all of those in death? He made a way. And in his resurrection, the graves were open and those saints of God were seen walking about the city. Because when this one comes into all of his glory in his resurrection, all of those things, all of those saints of God in him that had received his word, they come into the life of that resurrection. And now we have a great and glorious kingdom without death, without good and evil. It just is good. Just God. That's it. So before we get too discouraged by judging ourselves according to the flesh, there's one simple thought I want you to leave with. God has spoken the word of the Lord to you. It has been put forth to you. Prophecy is sowing to you everything that God is going to cause that word of God in you to become. All you have to do is let that word of God be sown, receive it, be obedient to it, submit yourself to it, and let God do the rest. Let the word of God do the work of it until he grows that young word of God up and it can stand on its own two feet and become a man of God and put everything unclean out of itself. It's a great inheritance God's given us. There's a kingdom that awaits. And if we trust God here, God can do it right here, right now. Amen? All right, guys. God bless you.